At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Switzerland! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. It is live radio. It's live Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 tonight, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Now, look, you come out to Senate Avenue Brewing, 290, you get the Senate Avenue exit, and you come in here and you drink some of the best craft beer going. In fact, it's award-winning craft beer. And my next two guests who I'm going to bring in a moment here, we all have a nice glass of fresh craft beer, and I mean fresh, and it is outstanding stuff. There's a great crowd in here. I mean, people come in here every night for dinner, the patio, you name it, Senate Avenue Brewing. These are always a little bit different because you got to play to the audience here. It's packed to the gills, and we got a lot to talk about here tonight. So I got a number of guests on the show. Later on tonight, Eddie Robinson. He has won four MLS Cups, former Houston Dynamo defender, 11 years. He was my partner on television. Eddie will be on the show tonight, later tonight. He will be coming up here. We will have Federico D. Michelis and Victor Ariza join us tonight. We got a lot of topics to banter around. Under 20 World Cup. More teams have qualified for the World Cup now. U.S. men's national team and much, much more. But I want to get to our first two guests here tonight here at Senate Avenue Brewing. And that is the one and only Artis Battiri and also from Team Houston, Jean-Luc. So, Jean-Luc, welcome. Battiri, welcome.
Good evening. Good to be here. Good evening.
We're happy to have you here as always. Full disclosure, these guys are my friends. We're all working on a lot of different projects around the World Cup. So I'm going to start with Battiri. And I got to get out there this week with you.
Sure.
The beautiful game art exhibit we had on Valentina Quiroga on the show. It was a great little interview with a young artist. But you've got this display going on at HCC Southeast. Excuse me. You've set it up. You've curated it. I've seen it from afar. It looks awesome. Tell us a little bit about it. It runs through Friday.
It is. Yeah, it does. It is a great exhibition, diverse exhibition with different artists from different, actually, parts of the world. We have artists from Brazil, from different countries in Africa, Europe. We have all of them. They live here in Houston, but we have one living in England and one in Ireland. But everyone really inspired by the beautiful game. And what I love about it is that every artist, they depicted or expressed something unique about the beautiful game. And there is, of course, Valentina, who brought her poem and two sketches in an anime style,
yeah,
which are amazing. This other artist, Brian Laguna, he created these three amazing drawings. One of them is the Samba shoes, the Adidas iconic Samba shoes, very realistic. And a ball worn out with a new ball in the middle. Very, very good drawings. And also one artist, Justin Earl Grant, he is from Texas and lived in Argentina for 10 years. So he created this drawing about how Argentines witness or watch football around a grill, right, or asado. And he created this moment of different people gathering, eating, watching the game in his own style, which it's amazing. So you have a lot of different pieces, but also very diverse, which I love because, I mean, the game is very, it's universal. So it's multicultural. It's about the world. So I hope everybody gets a chance to go visit it.
It's again at HCC Southeast, and Battiri set this up. It's very well presented. It's soccer, World Cup connection, and, of course, this World Cup is going to be the biggest ever when it comes to bringing in all the cultural aspects, art, music, food, all which go hand in hand, just like this great Senate Avenue Brewing beer we're drinking here. We got the mayor right in front of us. I'm nervous now. Andrew Mitchum, the owner of Senate Avenue Brewing, we're going to bring him on tonight to talk about this as well. I'm going to switch gears now and go over to my great friend Jan-Luc Blackburn from Team Houston. Now, Jan-Luc and I met. Jan-Luc is doing a lot of stuff organically, much like Battiri. So you've got the big committee in Houston doing all the corporate stuff, raising money, and then you got people like Battiri, Jan-Luc, myself. We're trying to do all these organic, very, very cool events that generate out of the soccer community. So what's the latest on Team Houston? Now, I know you can go on forever, Jan-Luc. Pick a couple of your favorites.
So my two favorites, right, for the activities that we're doing to get the business community ready for soccer and for the World Cup. Next week, you're going to be my guest. We're both going to be keynoting the PR Day. So the PRSA, the PR Association here in Houston, is doing their PR Day. They have a whole day of speakers, and we're going to close the day with a beautiful story around soccer and how PR and soccer can go and help Houston as a city, right? So Houston is a soccer city, but could use a few nice stories. And, of course, local soccer presents a lot of stories, but also the World Cup. So that's one. And the other one is we are going to do all our activities now also in Spanish. We have done a series of webinars with SCORE to educate the business community. And since a very large part of the small and medium business community is Hispanic, we're going to start next week Wednesday with the first one. We'll do again four webinars, 100% in Spanish, and then everything will also be available on our websites with all the presentations can be downloaded so everybody can get that material and basically prepare themselves to be as prepared as they can be for the tiny little tournament that is happening next summer.
Now, part of this is creating awareness. I mean, you run into a lot of people that don't realize this is coming and are now realizing this is real opportunity for them. It's not just Fortune 500 companies, as you say. It's mid to lower level businesses. So there's opportunity for everybody, like a lot of our great sponsors right here, Senate Avenue Brewing. This is going to be a spot for watching the World Cup in this part of the town. It's not just going to be down in Edo. Yep. It's going to be springing up all over the place. My friend Quinn from Cactus Music, my friend Dimitri from Nico Nico's, they're going to want people coming there to eat out of Edo and buy vinyl. So there's a lot going on. By the way, give the website address.
So it's team-houston.com. And, as you say, very important. We're only 239 days away. I think it's today. And so any business would normally have a business plan that's a little bit more than 239 days. So in principle, I think people are late if they start preparing, but they are not too late, right? You can still get ready, and we try to tell people, think before the drawing, between drawing and World Cup, think World Cup, but also think after the World Cup, because there's going to be a lot of soccer after the World Cup, and don't only think about just the World Cup as a big money grab, but more think about the relationship that you can build with the sport, because it is the fastest growing sport in the country. It is a Gen Z sport. It's a Latino sport. It's a women's sport. So for a business to project growth, soccer is your game.
Yeah, no question about it, especially in this city too. So Battiri, your sense of the awareness around the World Cup coming. Now, all three of us are hype men, but I want the honest answers right now. We all love the World Cup. We all know the history of it. It is ever-changing right now. It's expanding. What do you think the awareness quotient is right now in Houston around it?
I will say it's pretty poor. Really, a lot of people don't know about it. It's surprising to see people asking me, oh, the World Cup is coming to Houston, and they don't even know that we're going to have the 7 games, that it's next year. The basic details, a lot of people don't know about them. And and people that know or like soccer, they know very little. They don't really know more details and what they want to be involved somehow, and they don't know how. So that's why I think we're creating these opportunities, these platforms for people to be part of. Because, I mean, just imagine a World Cup where myself, I've had the opportunity to be in four of them, and you save money. You think about that every 4 years, and now having it at home is going to be just a dream. So we just need to keep creating more awareness, raising more awareness about that, and really what the game is about, because I think it's not part of our culture here yet, but it's growing. Like Jean-Luc was saying, it's a sport that is growing. And that,
see, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think it's an American sport. I think the problem is America's got three traditional sports. It's got lifestyle. It's got hockey. Pickleball's blown up. I mean, we have more choices here than anybody. So I would temper that a little and slightly disagree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you in principle on a lot of it, but I would slightly disagree on that because, you know, this is not Morocco where it's the only game. This is not Brazil.
And the U.S. is a very competitive country, and maybe also the U.S. hasn't reached a good level in the World Cup, like in the Olympics. So if the U.S. will be at the final or maybe at a higher level,
engage more people. Yeah. That can kind of be the firestorm of kicking off people. You know, that's the other thing about this World Cup is. People are going to fall in love with soccer during this World Cup, and they're going to be newbies.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing.
Yeah.
Same thing that happened in 94, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing that happened when the Houston Dynamo came here in 2006.
Yeah,
right?
So
now, the Dutch we don't have to convince because they've loved the game forever.
But in the Netherlands, we have also multiple sports, right?
I know you do. But none is bigger than soccer, though.
And we love soccer, and so
I don't have the NFL, by the way.
I tend to lean a little bit towards my dear friend Viteri, right, that I think the awareness is still too low. I think it's too low for the amount of money that's being spent by the city and by county. And, I mean, there's a massive investment. So I think if you have that massive investment, then there's a certain responsibility to have everybody in the city and in the county maximize on that investment. And that is particularly the small and medium business. So small and medium business has not had any significant education so far, except for, I think, the efforts that we have done. And we are, in the meantime, we're going to the next stage.
A great job, by the way, by both of you guys, from me to you. Great job.
Yeah, and it comes from passion, you know. So if you talk about why are we doing this, right, people are asking, why are you doing this? Are you getting any money for it? Right now we're getting zero money for it. But here's the fun part. We have now companies come to us and asking us for help on doing their World Cup plan. So I see some money on the horizon. But all of this started because we have passion for the sport, right? We have passion for business, and we have passion for Houston. And that's still, I mean, we're only 239 days away. And we have locally, and this we know from our own statistics, 2 million soccer fans in the city. So we're talking a lot about 500,000 people coming, but we have 2 million soccer fans in the city. So why not spend more time and effort on 2 million soccer fans in the city?
They're not leaving, by the way. They're going to be here.
And there's going to be more, right? So the beauty is going to be, in our view, is so go for the sport.
Yeah.
And use the tournament to accelerate. Develop your strategies. If you want to be with women's soccer, you have to think almost beyond the World Cup, right? But anyway, this World Cup is going to go get you into the moat, wherever you are in the city. And you're right. I mean, throughout the city, we already know there's going to be lots and lots of sub-events that are going to happen. People who are proactive are preparing them. But again, I speak every day people who are totally not aware. Yeah. And the other thing I will tell you as a European, right, I mean, given my European perspective, living here 25 years, I still think like a European at times. And it's like I hear everybody say all the time it's 7 Super Bowls. And I think that is a little bit of a, let's say, an American simplification because it's 39 days of World Cup.
Yeah.
Right? It's not one game, one day. There are no halftime shows, maybe only in the final. And it's going to be a 39-day sequence, right? We're going to be every day getting crazier and crazier and crazier all the way up to the final. New Jersey. I already know one team that's going to play there.
So what if that's the Netherlands. So if Uzbekistan is here, is it going to be like a Super Bowl?
It's going to be a great soccer game because people are going to go to it
simply because it's a World Cup game.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a World Cup game, and I think that you're going to see some smaller countries, right? So we've seen recently, smaller countries being placed in this, and it's fantastic for them, right? And I think for us here, it means that we're going to learn that this is a global sport. This is a multicultural sport. So we're going to learn about other countries. We're going to learn about other cultures. And that's just good for overall global perspective. So
I think if I questioned everybody in this room where Cape Verde is, they wouldn't know that it's off Africa, 500 miles out, 300 miles out in the ocean in the middle of nowhere. Now, look, I love the fact, Petiri, that they qualified. I saw the videos. It's incredible. It's emotional. But we're a 48-team World Cup, and FIFA, who's supposed to be the gatekeeper of the sport, is already talking about 64.
It's crazy.
We are going to systematically, in my opinion, and I'm still going to be a hype man for this one, trust me, but we are, I think, witnessing systematically the demystification of the uniqueness, the specialness, the historical, iconic value of the World Cup. And it may end up, three cycles from now, becoming not just another tournament, but close to just another tournament. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And FIFA's supposed to be the gatekeeper, and they're leading the charge of expansion.
And I mean, if you, now that we're watching these past World Cups through the Monday Night Football, you see that we started with 16 countries, and then it went up to 24, and then 32, and
correct,
48 now. So,
and it's funny because when we look back at those, it's like this was earth-shattering when we went from 16 to what,
24.
Right. These were like historic moments that it grew too much. And now we're looking at 64 and we haven't even played one with 48.
But you can also look at it in another way, right? I mean, listening to some of the comments this weekend during the Netherlands-Finland match from our dear friends too, right? I mean, it's like they were analyzing, like, where in the end do you end up in the World Cup, right? You end up with Brazil, Spain, Germany. So there is a kind of a funnel effect. So on the one hand, I mean, there's a great opportunity for many countries to enjoy the moment, right, and to get excited about it, and then in the end you funnel it down.
You might see one of those teams upset somebody. You will. You will see.
Maybe.
You will see one of these smaller nations upset somebody. I think Qatar also got in. I mean, it hasn't even been a soccer country for very long.
I hope Curacao.
Curacao may get in with our good friend Dick Advocate. Yeah. By the way, I want to mention Monday the 20th, Petiri, we're both going to be down there. Aurora Picture Show in the East End. It's called Campeones. It's a review of the 1978 World Cup in Argentina. I think my friend Federico Di Michelis might want to be at that one, unless he's tending to a new baby. I have a feeling which he will be. But that's called Monday Night Football. So airing these beautiful films from FIFA, Batiri's really been the executor on these, getting these done, and look forward to being down there for that. So get down there for that. And again, the beautiful game art exhibit, Houston Community College Southeast, set up and curated by Batiri as well. One more time, website for Team Houston.
Team-Houston.com.
Cruyff lives. Batiri.
Batiri.com.
Batiri.com. And by the way, he's a fantastic artist as well. Jan Luke has been driving a lot of great events. These two guys are making it happen. Guys, I really appreciate you coming on tonight, everything you're doing, and I like working with you too.
And we'll see.
We actually like each other.
We see you at Monday Night Football, a painful one, right? The 78 final. Yeah. So,
that was a painful one.
Yeah,
there was a lot of controversy around the 78.
And the political context, you
it's pretty
say,
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we won't say anything in front of the Argentine consulate. don't say anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll be on my best behavior that night. Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, of course.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. Senate Avenue Brewing, by the way, some new beers. Smash the Gavel IPA. That's awesome. Do we have a gavel? Mayor Murky, well, I didn't vote for you. Trivia this Wednesday, karaoke the 29th with a costume contest as well. It's Andrew Mitchum. It's Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. If you're out and about on the town, you're on 290. Whip in here right now. Come in here, get some of the freshest, award-winning craft beer that's possible. Plus, tonight is Bologi Bowl night here on Tuesdays. Federico just had it. We're going to get your take on it because I saw it and I wanted one, but I don't eat before the show. I don't want to mess myself up. But it made me hungry. That's all I can say. Senate Avenue Brewing. We'll take a break. We got more to come. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
I'm the king of rock. There is none higher. Fire MCs should call me sire. To rule my kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking until I retire.
Now we rock the party. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Senate Avenue Brewing. I'm going to say it again because it's that good. It needs to be mentioned. Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. Come on out. Join us, by the way. That was Run DMC. Now, that's rap. The Kings of Rock, mixing it with hard rock. Run DMC. That's real rap, and as far as I'm concerned. I'm not into the gangster stuff. Cactus Music brings you that beautiful selection, The Kings of Rock by Run DMC. All right. With that, we bring in the one and only, the mayor of Jersey Village. He is the owner of Senate Avenue Brewing. It is award-winning craft beer and food. Tonight is Bologi Bowl night, so get out here healthy. He is Andrew Mitchum. Andrew, thanks
Glenn,
for coming in.
Always a treat to have you here.
We're always excited to be here. We love coming out here. Brian McDonald's asking me, when are we going back out? I said, every Tuesday. You got to remember it. He loves coming out here. All right, we got new beer, Smash the Gavel IPA.
Yeah,
tell me about it.
So Smash stands for single malt and single hop. So it's a very simple recipe, and it lets you sort of taste the basics of beer. So this time it was Dulcita hops, very peachy flavor to it. So it's just one we change up every single time we change the hops on it. We keep the malt the same, change the hops every time, so you can kind of experience what the floralness of beer tastes like and how it changes with the same kind of malt base.
I always feel small when I'm next to you and you start talking about beer.
I can talk your ear off about beer.
I just don't feel like a very educated man on craft beer.
I can educate
beer,
anybody.
But this is good.
Yeah.
All right, how about the Mayor Murky?
So Mayor Murky is a collaboration that we do with 19 other Houston area breweries. It's released in October, every October, and you can actually have a passport. You go to each brewery. I can't mention them all. We don't have that time. But if you go to each brewery and get a stamp, you win prizes. You win a pass to the Murkies at No Label Brewing Company out in Katy. That'll be October 23rd. So if you want some more information on that, hit me up on Instagram or Facebook. I'll explain more about it. But that's a hazy IPA. Kind of heavy. It's 8.5%, so don't have too much of it.
Yeah.
But it's really delicious, very hazy, very hoppy. Yeah.
Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard right now. If you're driving home tonight, patio's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, gorgeous.
People are out
the
there. I got a little girl that runs up to the window behind me here before. It's such a great spot. It's very relaxed. It has a big-time sort of German beer garden feel to
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah.
As well. All right, I Didn't Vote For You.
Okay, so part of owning a brewery, my favorite part is naming beers. So Well, I Didn't Vote For You came from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And it's a Kolsch. And, you know, we're politically themed a little bit, so that's our beer name. So Kolsch is really light. It's German style. It's meant for summertime, meant for a patio. So today would be a perfect time to have the Well, I Didn't Vote For You Kolsch.
Unbelievable out here today. And the beer is amazing. The food is amazing.
Yeah.
Trivia this Wednesday, karaoke,
we do, yeah.
October 29th with the costume contest.
Yes. So,
all right, but before you get into that, I got a bone to pick. When are we doing our Soccer Matters beer? When do we want to launch
it? Name it. Well, that's the problem. Is we
have
name
to
it.
Sit
like
down
said,
and formulate this.
Like
and,
I said earlier, the name is the best part. We name it Soccer Matters. We can maybe have
Can we use a little cardamom in this beer, you think?
Sure, we can definitely do.
We have to come up with something very cool.
I'll never say no to whatever you want to put in the beer as long as it tastes really good. If it samples poorly, we'll just, you know,
I'm leaving the beer making. I'm leaving it to you. By the way, I'm sporting my Senate Ave hat. So
yeah, we got some merch.
Tonight I really look like a radio host.
You do.
Because all the guys in my studio always have these on.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
See this guy back here? He's bothering me. All right, so just take us into your two events, and then
every Wednesday we do something. We usually do trivia or do music bingo. So every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we start something, and it's a lot of fun. It's the best trivia in town, in my opinion. My buddy Ryan comes up with some of the musical components of it. But we do music trivia, movie trivia, TV trivia every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, or music bingo. But if there's a fifth Wednesday of the month, we do karaoke, which is my GM Glenn's favorite thing in the whole planet.
Yes.
So this fifth Wednesday of the month is October 29th, and it'll be karaoke. It'll be close to Halloween. So we'll do a costume contest. Come dressed up. Come sing. Come drink some liquid courage. To actually pick a song out and sing. And do it in a costume. Maybe you'll win some cash prizes. We'll see what happens.
Outstanding. And by the way, Ryan, I know him because
great guy.
We go down to the great Cactus Music, and he's a big vinyl guy.
His musical knowledge
is second
to none.
He knows. I'll go toe to toe with him, though.
I think
he thinks I know a little bit, right?
All right.
A little bit, Ryan. I got a little in me. All right, listen, Mayor,
hey, pleasure,
Andrew
sir.
Mitchum,
Glenn,
thank you so much. And by the way, we really love being associated with you here.
Well, hey, you all are doing a great job promoting it, and I can't wait for all the great stuff that's about to happen in the soccer world in Houston.
We're
going to
keep it going. We're going to have a blast here during the World Cup months
from
now. All right, that's Andrew Mitchum, Senate Avenue Brewing. Again, come on out here, smash the gavel, IPA, Mayor Murky. Well, I didn't vote for you. Trivia this Wednesday, karaoke October 29th. Federico DeMichelis joins us. Victor Ariza, come on down and join the show. Well, wait, Victor, come on. He's so engaged and engrossed in talking about how Mexico's going to win the World Cup that he's not even listening to me. So, okay, joining us now, Soccer Matters, Federico DeMichelis. We call him the Opera Man as well. We call him Fernando sometimes. He is a great contributor to our show. And also from CONCACAF, Victor Ariza. Right here, Victor used to be a big part of the show before he moved on to other things. But
and then the show took off right after that.
So... But I will tell you something in all seriousness. These two guys are serious soccer journalists. They ask real questions. It's not just, you know, it's real soccer talk. So that's part of the reason why both of them are here tonight. All right, so let's start off with some Dynamo talk, because there's a lot going on in the world of the Dynamo, and this is going to be more organizational. And then we'll get into some World Cup stuff. So today I get a press release. The Dynamo have hired a guy named Nicolo Zini from the Miami World Cup Committee. He's worked for Barcelona in the U.S. office. He is a chief revenue officer, which essentially is a guy that oversees generating revenue for a pro sports team. So I looked at this, and he's here to bolster business. And I begin to think of the connection between a front office and the on-field competitive side of a soccer club, which have to work in unison, which has to row in the same direction. And then I think of, in my time, calling games since 2006, since the team arrived here, the revolving door of people that have gone through that front office. You got one that's now working at the Indiana Fever. You got the press release. I think Jeff Stewart was at the Astros. He came over from the Astros.
Game changer.
They called him in the press release a game changer. He didn't last. Now, that doesn't mean none of these people seem to last. And it seems to be, to me, a really, really big problem. Because if you're in and out, how do you ever get any consistency going? How do you get any connection to a community? And then are the two facets of the club, the competitive side and that, working well together? I'm going to say my guess from the outside, it isn't right now, because both teams are struggling. But even more important, and this is what I want soccer fans to hear of the Dynamo. When you criticize just the on-field competitive side of it, you have to look at it sometimes in the bigger context of what the overall owner and organization is doing. Because if the competitive side doesn't get the support from the business side and the marketing side and all the other integral pieces of the business, how can you have an overall soccer club? So I'll start with you, Victor, but, you know, here we go again. Now, I hope this guy's a great guy, and I'm not being judgmental. He's obviously got some talent, but is he here like a frog again to jump on the lily pad and be gone in 2 years? How do we consistently get a front office of people that want to stay here that are passionate about the game and equally important as passionate about Houston?
Yeah, well, my biggest concern is that is the focus in the right place? I read this, the headline to this tweet, right? This announcement you're talking about. A proven leader in the global game joins our team. Man, imagine if that, I'm thinking, man, if that's a player, that's a great player to have, right? If you're describing him that way, why isn't that same investment on the field? And in the same breath, what's this guy going to sell if he doesn't have top players to sell to the community, to the business community, if you want to call it that way?
He was at Inter Miami too, by the way.
Well, and I mean, that's an easy job, right? Sell Messi.
Anybody can do.
That's like coming from the Cavaliers and selling LeBron James. I mean,
that was one of the former Dynamo employees as well.
Yeah. Well,
she had a rough time selling soccer.
Because it's a different beast when you got to market Amin Bassi and Sebastian Kovalchuk and all these guys that have their own stories, but you have to let the public know and connect them and make them care about these players. Again, best of luck to him, but to me, it seems like another hire.
Federico?
I have to agree. We asked some you know, tougher maybe questions to Olsen the last press conference there at home after the defeat against...
Were they really tough?
Well, no, but,
aren't tough in Argentina, maybe in the U.S.
But one of the questions was, do you think you got the support you think you needed to build something here? Is it all on you? Is it only on the sports side?
How does this help Olsen as a coach?
Correct. So that's the question. What is the
could say bring more revenue, but didn't they sell Coco Carrasquilla? Didn't they let go of Hector Herrera and open up
the budget there?
Right. They sold Mikael.
Where is all that money?
Well, somebody's pocket.
Well, just a reminder, the Dynamo are near the bottom in attendance and revenue.
Yeah. Well, they made a big gate out of that Miami game early in the season, so let's not forget that one.
Yeah,
the one that Messi didn't show up to.
The one that Messi didn't show up to, remember that? We've talked about this as well, but, it can't be the same for a player to show up and play for a city that shows up every team and one that doesn't, And again, it's not about the city not being a soccer city. It's about what is the club doing to bring people in the stadium to watch the Houston Dynamo.
Well, I think it's pretty clear the front office needs a heavy dose of soccer passion, and it needs a heavy dose of consistency. I would have loved this to have been a hire, let's go steal the best front office guy with a soccer background in Major League Soccer and let's spend money on it. I don't think the spend is on the front office. Thus, I think you get the problems you get, and it makes it easier for people to make judgment and say, hey, we're not really investing in this sport and the passion of it. We're a business operation. I don't begrudge anybody that. It's their money, but that doesn't do good for us in the soccer community here in Houston, for people that have been around the sport a long time and want it to be successful, want Shell Energy Stadium to be a passionate place,
right,
to be a happening, to be sold out, to fill the seats, to force major media in the market to provide coverage on the team, and we don't get any of that.
I will give him that. In the press release, it says it lists some of his soccer background, it lists some of that. That makes me a little bit glad, because I think, and, we sort of heard some murmurs that previous hires weren't really
soccer people.
Right. So, and I mean, and some of this were giveaways, right?
Yeah.
And I always go back to, can you imagine the Astros hiring non-baseball people or people that don't care about baseball, for an inch, a drop of of who they are.
The accountant doesn't have to be passionate about soccer, but the people generating the vision, the ideas,
can't have a whole department
the 5-year project,
the
10-year project, you know, I just don't feel like there's an absolute vision there. I just feel like it's, hey, we're going year by year.
Right.
Goal is to make the playoffs. We're going to throw it against the wall, and we hope it sticks. Here we are after Hector Herrera. Where's the valuation? What did we get out of that? We're not more relevant. We don't get more coverage. We don't have more people in the seats. We didn't grow. So we're going to come back with a little more of this. We're going to switch to World Cup. Got great guys here, Federico De Michelis. We got Victor Ariza. We're going to take a break. As we go to break, I do want to tell you, though, about Slip Sliders. So Slip Sliders is a Houston-based restaurant. Sliders, tenders, shakes, different types. Beef, chicken, seafood, vegetables, options. They are down on bins near the museum area. Slip Sliders. So they got combo meals, chicken tenders, crispy French fries, Cajun cheese fries, onion rings, hand-spun milkshakes. But they've got, like, very, very good. I mean, these are incredible, these sliders. Buffalo Blue, spicy chicken slider with buffalo sauce, blue cheese, the backyard burger, Cajun cheese fries. I'm a big fan of the Shrimp Shack and the Caribbean Chick, and they're big. These are not your normal little sliders. They're on DoorDash. It is Slip Sliders, 1802 Bins. This is the Guess Who with American Woman.
This is ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, thank you to Ryan back in studio. This one goes out to a big fan of the show, Brian McDonald. I'm not hearing much here right now. Now I am. All right, welcome back. Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. That's where we're at here tonight. Joining us in this segment and probably the next one as well, Victor Ariza, Deportes Houston, and CONCACAF, and also Federico De Michelis of Soccer Matters. And we appreciate both of you guys being here tonight. All right, so the Houston Dash have been put up for sale. It's the women's team that Ted Siegel, the Dynamo owner, owns as well. Sportico put an article out that they were valued at $75 million. And all of a sudden, an article comes out that there is a 24-year-old, I guess he's a kid. He's a billionaire named Richard Hsiao from China. He's been born in America. He is willing to pay, apparently, $120 million for something that's valued at $75 million. The kicker here is, and in the article, this is all stuff that I'm telling you that came out of the article. In the article, the kid is the son of a father who made billions of dollars working with the Communist Chinese Party and is currently in jail. Now, this sale is on approval and is being reviewed by the NWSL. Now, this will float the valuations of franchises high. So every other owner in every other NWSL market's going, hey, this is great. Yeah, let's get that one through. Do you think it'll happen, Victor?
Well, if it's being announced, if it's being reported, I think it's pretty much going to happen unless something hits the brakes, something comes up in the in the look-through, right, from the league and the investigation of where the money's coming from and, you know, can they justify
it? How much investigating do they really need to do?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how long it takes for this sale to get announced, how much the approval takes. But I think usually when these things get reported, it's because they're bound to happen. They're almost just about a few steps from finalizing, right? So I think that's the sign that the Dash are going to get sold. Now, to me, there's still questions about, are they staying in Houston? Could this guy be taking them out of market?
Article said that they would stay in Houston.
Well, I mean, but that's – well, let's
see. I'm just telling you what the article said. I'm just telling you what they wrote. I think it'll go through. They won't be the first to do business with Chinese communists. Nike built their company on slave labor in China. Let's be honest. I guess I just lost my Nike endorsement. But that's too bad. I don't have Nikes on today.
There's other companies.
I don't know. Is this a good look, Federico?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the first thing I think that jumps out. When you see this article, you go, is this a good look for the league? Well, I mean, let's be honest.
Even if you don't follow the NWSL, you know, this is the same owner of the Dynamo has. You know, so does this show who he's making business with? You know, is this the people that we're making business with? And how important is this for the Dynamo? Are we going to see something like
very,
this?
Not
for the
very.
Dynamo? You know? Very, not very?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, where is the money coming from? Is it only him? Are there other, you know, investors involved in who we're bringing in? You know, what kind of players we're looking for? What kind of money we're looking at? I don't know. You know, questions.
Well, the other one is, why is Ted Siegel selling? Why is he selling at, I would call it a low figure compared to, I mean, if an expansion franchise in the NWSL is going for 100, 110, why wouldn't he wait, sell, or unless it's an offer too good to pass up? Maybe he heard the commercial.
Unless you're trying
before.
To raise, yeah, but you may be trying to raise cash. I mean, yeah. I think we've seen offloading of expenses at the club in a lot of areas. If you're looking very closely, you're seeing offloading of expenses. Fans think about Hector Herrera. We spent $6 million. Hector's gone. That's gone. We didn't get enough out of that.
What's happening?
We got
on
new
Dynamo
seats.
Side as well.
New seats being put in and all that. That's all history. This is a sport to compete with the other three sports in Houston. And to drive into the depth of soccer passion, it's what have you done for me lately? Let's be honest. That's what sports is now.
Yeah, that's fair. And again, you know.
Well, in the dash, it's what have you done for me at all?
Well, first of all that, you know.
And that's not being disrespectful to the players or the coaches.
No,
but
the opposite.
There's not a lot of marketing of the team. The crowds are small. So maybe if you're valued at $75 million, and somebody says they want 100, they'll give you 120. Maybe you take it. Maybe they take it and say, okay, maybe we'll get a bump from 120 after the World Cup. Who knows?
I mean, they were talking in the article about the average attendance at something like 5,000 people, something like that. Is that correct?
That's not right. That's a big stretch.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's another thing.
That's another thing. Stop telling me when.
Sold out. Sold out.
Why do we have to be deceitful all the time?
I don't know.
Why aren't we transparent and just accept where we are, what we are, give people the confidence by being honest with the soccer fan in Houston? I don't get this chicanery and we smoke and mirrors everything and, you get so tired of it, honestly. Well, you just get tired of it, and people get fatigued.
Come along with this Houston Dynamo and Dash.
All right, let's go to the DP of the team. We're talking to Federico DeMichelis, Victor Ariza. At the end of the day, the two DPs for the Houston Dynamo, starting with you, Federico, Ezequiel Ponce and Andre Linger.
Listen, Linger, I think he had a tremendous start of his time at the Dynamo, and then he slowly
is he a
faded.
DP?
He's not. He's definitely not a DP. He's a good player. I
he
would like to
Champions
have him.
Champions League. What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, Champions. Yeah, because that's what the press release said. You know, with the experienced Champions League player, Andre Linger. Listen, he's. I think he has good things to bring to the team, but again, he's not a player you can build a team around. Definitely not. And Ponce, by the end of the season, he had better results, but again, it was also because of where the team was at the time. You know, the you know, having an Ali made a big difference for him, I
think. So is he on the level of Messi, Muller, the guy that just came in, Anders Dreyer from San Diego?
I like him.
Is he a good player? By the way, that guy's got like 34 goal contributions.
Yeah, tremendous.
I mean, we don't have a player like that. We never have a player like that that's in the top that's banging at goal contributions. And if you got goal scorers like that and playmakers like that, they win you games. You don't deserve to win, Victor.
Yeah, well, the original designated player was David Beckham, and that's what, in theory, the DP tag is supposed to be, a player that's going to lift your team up, give it a different type of attention to your team, give it a different type of competitive feel. The effect that Hector Herrera had to this team, lifted everybody up, demanded more of his teammates, brought his experience and leadership. I mean, even last year when maybe you didn't get the best out of him, but you still got something if you compare it to this year.
Yeah.
That's what a DP is supposed to be. Obviously, on the field, these guys have talent, right? Linger and Ponce. I don't know that the team necessarily plays to their strengths.
Correct.
So that's part of it. But the other side of it is they're supposed to, in spite of that, again, look at what Tomas Muller is doing in Vancouver. They're first place in the West.
They haven't lost a game with him in 10 games.
They made the Champions Cup final against Cruz Azul. I mean, they got ran out of the park in the final, but, you know, they were a good enough team to get there, but Muller takes them to another level, yeah. Gives them a different belief. Yeah. The camaraderie, the openness with the media. Yeah. He's like at a Canucks game every, you know, the other week.
He's as big a value off the field as he is on it. He's a fun guy. He's got a smile on his face all the time. He loves winning. He's saying stuff like, I want to make Vancouver a town that believes in winning. You know, I mean,
right.
He's awesome. He's worth the price of admission alone.
Franchise player.
Yeah. And by the way, they were a good team before him, so to plug him in now. And that's without Ryan Gold, who has been their best player and has been out. So do we want a Thomas Muller Vancouver against Lionel Messi Inter Miami final? I think MLS offices would like that.
I think we'd all like that.
I'd like
that. Especially MLS offices, yes, absolutely. You know, players like that, they make the difference. I mean, look at Son. Son, ever since he came.
I think they wouldn't mind having LAFC in the
final. I wouldn't mind
that. Well, with him and Bowanga up front, I think LAFC is a... You got to be in fear. I don't think people fear the Dynamo.
Plus,
and I would say from the standpoint of attacking, both the Dynamo and Dash do not put enough fear into opponents. And a lot of that comes. I love Yasmin Ryan as a player for the Houston Dash.
Right.
Called a lot of her games in college. She should not be the focal point of your attack. It should be somebody next level up, and then you'll get the best out of her. Right. That's the way I look at that. Same with Ponce. The Dynamo only became more dangerous since Lawrence and Ali started to get a start.
How many times we've seen teams come to Houston with six or seven subs just to rest, you know? It's, you know, it hurts. Honestly, it hurts. As a fan, it hurts. You know, LA Galaxy did it. Minnesota did it when we won 2-0. Again, yeah, when are we going to see a player that's going to not only be a good player for the team, but also be a franchise player for the city, you know, something like we're seeing with Mueller.
I think
now.
we had it in Herrera, and that's why I think it's, you know, going back to that front office hire, that's where you need them to help out, do the rest of it, right? Not everybody's like a Son, where it just automatically weaves in the Korean community, right? There was some work to be done with Héctor Herrera. He wasn't a Chicharito. He wasn't a Carlos Vela. I think Mexican fan could tell you that.
There was some work you could do with him.
Yeah.
There's nothing left now. I mean, he left, and it's like he never was here.
Listen, if you're an owner of a team and you bring a guy in like that, you want to get full valuation out of the spend. You're paying this man a lot of money. You want him in the community. You want him doing it on the field for you, making your team better, which Héctor Herrera in 2023 was exceptional. It was one of the best sporting watches in Houston that a lot of people missed simply because the club is not popular enough. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, here we are going into next season. We're not more relevant. We don't get more press coverage. People aren't going to games. People are canceling season tickets. This is harsh, but I wish people would put the reality on the table and take us from where we're going. And if you don't like it as a fan, then you shouldn't spend your money down there.
You want a home run like Son? James Rodriguez is out of a contract at the end of the year.
I beg you.
Don't start that.
I beg you. Someone
they already had a crack.
The Colombians we have a Colombian fan
What's
here.
What's your name? Giuseppe. Thanks for coming.
From the Surge.
He's got the Surge guy? We're going to bring him on a little
great
bit
great win by Colombia against
Giuseppe,
Spain.
Giuseppe, don't drink too much. I'm going to probably bring you on. Okay?
I didn't bring it up.
Right, so let's move on. Let's do something positive here. Two positive things, I think, for the Dynamo, obviously, and we saw him perform. Brooklyn Reigns was outstanding in the Under-20 World Cup.
What a player.
Played really, really well. Finally got a breakthrough opportunity with the Dynamo. And sometimes when you have bad seasons, there are these other storylines that can emerge because people get opportunities on teams that aren't doing as well. And, of course, Herrera left. So speak a little bit to Brooklyn Reigns, but this is a kid that's matured before our eyes. It's wonderful.
Well, a side effect.
And by the way, credit to the Dynamo for giving him the opportunity.
Credit to the team for giving him minutes, but also another side effect of Héctor Herrera helped him develop as a player playing alongside him. I mean, he's one of the seasoned players, I think, on the USU 20. In my opinion, this is the time now after this World Cup, U20 World Cup, where the Dynamo, if they're going to be a successful selling club, they gotta see what offers are out there, and this is probably the best time to sell him because I don't see him leaving.
We don't know what type of club the Dynamo are. Selling club,
well, supposedly
youth club,
they're a selling
these are
club.
Things
That's
we have
said.
To... We,
I mean, and if it is,
somebody
if they
has
are,
to
the
get out in
now.
Front next year and decide to tell the public
and if he's gonna
what
stay.
Type of team we're trying to be, what type of club we're trying to be, not just say the playoffs is the objective, and give us the plan for the future.
Right.
And then that way, it's all out in the open for everybody, and we can watch. If it's developing youth, then let us see youth get through to the first team.
Which we don't
That's
see.
How we judge you.
Right.
None are getting through.
Right.
Brooklyn
yeah.
Reigns was purchased. So lots of things that I think could make it all easier for everybody and be more endearing to the public as well. The other thing about him, just look at how much more mature he carries himself prior to the beginning of the year when he was getting opportunity, making some mistakes. That all comes with it. In the Morocco game, when they were trying to get an equalizer, they dropped him back to center back because he's so good on the ball.
Yeah.
And he's hitting penetrating passes, which in the beginning he'd hit 5-yard, 10-yard, little 10-yard passes. Now he's looking to break lines. He's seeing things differently. It's wonderful and fascinating to watch.
He plays like a veteran. You know, it took him two or three matches with the first team to just be a game breaker, you know, a game changer. So the Dynamo have two... jewels, you know. Brooklyn Reigns is a player that's going to be worth a lot of money. He's going to do a lot of great things for American soccer, in my opinion.
You got to sell him at the right time. If you just sit on him like a Coco Carrasquilla, I mean, he's just going to collect dust.
And the other one is Jack McGlynn, who just signed an extension of his contract. You know, we have two players that are really important for the development of U.S. soccer, in my opinion. You know, you don't see players like that in the MLS. So what are we going to see? Are we going to sell, or are we going to build a team around players that actually can make a difference for U.S. soccer?
Well, that's the worry. You want to win something with young players before you sell them.
Well, if there's a plan to keep them, then say there's a plan to keep them.
You're sticking with me. We're going to come back with more. Victor Ariza, Federico De Michelis. This is good conversation. You want real soccer talk? Soccer matters. I don't care what anybody says. This is real soccer talk. It's honest. We tell the truth. And we do it at Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. If you're out and about on the town, come on in. Come in and have one of the Smash the Gavel IPAs, maybe a Mayor Murky, or, well, I didn't vote for you.
That's
a good
one.
I like that one. I didn't vote for a lot of people. All right, we'll come back, do some under 20 talk. Quick word here before we break out. Nico's Greek and American Cafe, the best in Greek food. Dimitri, Montrose, Woodlands, I-10 in the Beltway out near Katy, where Jeff Doise lives. It is Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Let's take a break. Hour number two coming up. We're waiting for the arrival of the former Dynamo, Eddie Robinson.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Soccer Matters.
With Dempsey.
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside. Spain score.
Entonces el centro de Madrid. Gol de oro. Gol de oro. Gol de oro. Gol de Uribe.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. And by the way, we're tilling the soil here, baby. We're going to be watching the World Cup here when it comes. And you don't have to go down to Edo. Edo's going to be fun for some, but we're going to have fun out here in Jersey Village, too. And by that time, we're going to have a Soccer Matters beer on the menu. Andrew's going like he's not letting this go. But
the
I'm
hand
not
of God.
Going to let it go, Andrew.
The hand of God.
16,000 Dillard.
Hey, that's a good name.
Hey, the hand of God.
The hand of God beer. Maybe. We'll put that one in the potentials.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to call it 442, though. I promise you that. That's overused and overburdened. All right, Glenn Davis here, Victor Ariza, Federico DeMichelis. Brian, can you do me a favor? Can you talk to Ryan and see if he can pull that Dynamo fan sound at some point, if it's back there? And we might run a little bit of that. All right, so let's talk about the under-21st World Cup first, and then we'll get to the main one. 2026, we got seven games here in Houston, the full World Cup, five group stage matches, two that will be a knockout stage. Well, actually, let's start with the big World Cup first. That's the usual order. All right, so we got a couple more teams that have entered the fray. Cape Verde, which is off of Africa, an island. We've got England that beat Latvia today. Harry Kane had a pair of goals. So England is qualified. Algeria's in. Tunisia is in. Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt, Algeria, Ghana, Cape Verde from the African Confederation, along with Morocco. You've got U.S., Canada, and Mexico as hosts. You got Argentina, Brazil, Ecuador, Uruguay, Colombia, Paraguay. You got Japan, Iran, Uzbekistan, South Korea, Jordan, Australia. And then you've got New Zealand as well, and there may be another one. I think Qatar is in as well. Expanded format, 48 teams. It's still going to be great. I'm still going to be a World Cup hype man. But we are chipping away at meritocracy.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's always bad when it's a yeah, but.
I'm all in on it because some of these stories, I think it's great to see, right? Cape Verde. Man, if we get like a Suriname in there from CONCACAF or Curaçao. Yeah,
Curaçao's playing tonight, right?
Yeah, they're winning, and they're leading that group,
that's,
and we'll see what comes up from there. Man, if Guatemala is able to get to a World Cup for the first time, I think there is some good in this. Now, the problem here is they don't say we're going to 48 teams and sticking with it. No, we're already talking about 60 teams. And
Mars
before you
Jupiter.
Know it, yeah, we're going to be at 100. So then I think going that direction – full on, you know, I think you got to make a choice, right? What's World Cup going to be? At some point, you got to also respect, like you said, the competitive side of it. But I think there is room for evolution. I think it has happened throughout the history of the World Cup. It wasn't always 32 teams. I like that format, but I think the situation permits 48. And if it's going to be multiple countries hosting, the more the merrier. And, you know, again, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing for a lot of people. And to share it a little bit more with the world. Obviously, there's a lot of money to be made
here.
I
think that's the pro to expansion.
Yeah.
The pro to expansion is more participation, beautiful stories and highlights out of Cape Verde,
right.
A country, this is one of their greatest moments ever. I get that. But I'm a competitor, and I don't want 68 teams,
right.
And I don't want the World Cup to be demystified because the World Cup is the most unique sporting event on the planet. You have to qualify. It's supposedly for the best of the best. It can't be said anymore that that's necessarily going to be the truth because there's going to be teams in it, like Uzbekistan, that are not as good as European teams that are not going to qualify out of Europe. I mean, that's a fact. I'm sorry. So I just hope, and I think we are seeing in sports in general, Federico, before I toss it to you, over-commercialization, expansion, valuation of teams, all this stuff. Something has to suffer, and competition is going to suffer. And I think you're going to get a World Cup that ultimately might be, it's in two or three cycles from now, is not going to be the unique thing that I grew up with. Now, that may not matter to younger people now, but, you know, I can recount moments from every World Cup that indelibly are etched in my mind forever. I don't know if that's going to happen when there's 68 teams. I don't know. Federico.
Well, and it also hurts the qualifying tournaments, right? Because, I mean, if you're going to qualify 64 teams out of, you know, all the federations, then what kind of competition are you going to have throughout the year? Not only for the World Cup, but throughout the year, you know? I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know. I agree with Victor in the sense that, you know, things change and you know, maybe they're pushing it to see, you know, how far can they take it? You know, how much money can come in and then they will pull back? You know, I don't know. Some of the stories are going to be amazing, of course. But then, you know, what's the merit as well? You know, because, I mean, for Guatemala it would be amazing, yes. But what does it actually mean? You know, if there are 68
teams. What are we doing?
Teams,
producing,
you know,
right. A tournament for moments? Or
right.
Are we producing a tournament for competition and the best soccer team on the planet? you got to decide what you want. And
well, I think
what disappoints me is FIFA is supposed to be the gatekeepers, okay, of the sport of soccer, the integrity of soccer.
Well, there's the first problem. We're trusting FIFA.
And they're the ones who are pushing it, okay? They're the ones that are pushing it now. We haven't even completed 48. We haven't figured out if that's even going to be great. And we're already trying to have 64 teams in it.
And
okay?
Also the way, you know, maybe people don't know. For the next World Cup, they're thinking it's supposed to be in Spain, Morocco, and...
Yeah, that's wacky, where it starts in South America and then it
right.
goes over to
so
Europe.
So they're going to do the first few matches because it's a centenary, yeah. right? So they're going to do the first few matches in Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina. And then they're going to travel to Portugal, Spain,
and Morocco. Those are symbolic games, right?
Yeah, but now they're talking about expanding it and doing, you know, like the first group... stages in South America, and then going. So it's going to be like a 3-month tournament with 65 teams. You know, and so
just hosted in all the continents,
right? You know, then let's just do
at
like
least a group stage,
like an yearly tournament, and let's call it the World Cup, and let's have everybody involved. Yeah. And
I think
then you
the
know,
World like, Cup started with what 8 or 12 teams,
something like that.
Then it went to 16, and then when it went to 32, that was like a big holy smoke, right? Now we're talking about 64 teams. Commercialism is ruling now. I think that's not going to get turned back. All right. The U.S. men's national team, by the way, is going to be on at 8 o'clock tonight. They've got a friendly, and they're taking on
Australia. Yeah.
The Socceroos is what they call them, right? The Socceroos. All right. So Mauricio Pochettino, some thoughts on him. Federico, you're Argentine. Of course... That means you know more about soccer than Victor because he's from Mexico.
Hey, I don't know about that. We had another rivalry weekend, apparently. I didn't know Mexico and Argentina had a rivalry. Apparently now we do. That's what they say.
Isn't Mexico Argentina's rival?
I thought it was Panama or something like that. I don't want to be offensive. I think we have our rivals
hey,
already.
That's not nice to the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
We were their friends first. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk seriously about Pochettino and where he's at with the yeah. team now. He's taken a lot of criticism. Talk.
Yeah, look, I think at the beginning of his time with the U.S., he did... he was criticized a lot. I think now things are changing because the team is showing a lot of progress. I think... The game that we saw the other day against Ecuador is not an easy team to beat. It's not an easy team to play against. And
let's remind our listeners, Ecuador was number two in South American World Cup qualifying.
Yeah. If you remember Copa America here in Houston, by the way, Argentina played Ecuador in a very, very tough game. Ecuador was winning until the last five minutes or so, and then penalty
Argentina
kicks.
Got out by the skin of their...
They are a tremendous team. Of course, another Argentine coach, but we don't need to talk about that because that's all of us. You know, all the coaches are Argentine.
Every country should
America.
Have an Argentine coach. Let's just make it a rule.
So I like what Pochettino is doing. You know, maybe the ways with the press and everything maybe might not be the best, but I think, you know, I have faith in his World
okay,
Cup.
Okay, so hold that thought. Victor, you're going to comment on him, but Ryan, can you roll the soundbite, please? Of this is Austin Trusty, who plays in Europe. He's a center back, and he talks about the difference in this soundbite between Greg Berhalter as a manager and Mauricio Pochettino. Do you have it, Ryan? Okay, he's going to pull it up. When you get it, Ryan, let me know. So Austin Trusty was on a show. I'm trying to remember what it was called, like the Rondo. Because I want to give those guys credit for their show. But it was called The Rondo. And
he said Berhalter didn't really communicate with the players. And
yeah. Now, look, he didn't get called into certain events for Berhalter, so that usually doesn't endear you as much to a coach. I think it's pretty interesting because you've seen Mauricio Pochettino, Victor, get a lot of criticism from ex-U.S. players.
Well, that tends to happen when you have a coach that's not from the country.
And you're starting coaching. A podcast.
Yeah, so but I think that's part of it, right? The nationality. There's a lot of questions there. It starts there. But I like what Pochettino has brought, right? Again, I think it's similar. And Klinsmann faced a lot of this when he was in charge. Bringing somebody that's done it in Europe where at least, you know, brings that sort of standard to the U.S. men's national team. I don't know if it all... I mean, again, I don't know if he was installed in time, right? He just completed a year. So I don't know if time's really on his side as far as getting you know, all the pieces in place to try to get the best out of this. Maybe that was part of holding on to Berhalter a little too long.
It got too comfortable. I mean, even everybody on the outside saw it was like this was a team that needed a little autocratic nature. Our good friend Eddie Robinson just showed up here. Hey. Hello, Eddie. Give him a round of applause, folks. There's a four-time MLS Cup winner walking into Senate Avenue Brewing. That doesn't happen every night. Look at this guy. Just strolls in.
Unless he lives in the
neighborhood. He's like an outlaw.
Maybe he does.
he says he's leaving now. No, he's not going to leave. We're going to get some thoughts from Eddie tonight, and he'll join in too. So back to Pochettino.
He doesn't get rattled. I mean, he gets some of these questions that, you know, I wish there was more soccer conversation. I think he mentioned this in one of his recent press conferences where he's like, look, finally we're talking tactics and it's not about the desire or the commitment.
Imagine.
And all these other, you know, miscellaneous topics around the team. Again, best of luck to him. I think he handled the Pulisic situation. I'm talking about Pochettino himself, the best that he could, considering all the, you know, all the clips we saw of the reality show or whatever that was with Pulisic. And I think, you know, ultimately, I think he's got this team in the right direction. The only thing I worry about is, does he have enough time to get it all together? And we'll see. We'll see next year.
You know what happens sometimes? The preparation isn't the best. You can say, oh, why isn't he playing this guy, this guy? It'll be interesting to see the lineup that he puts out. It may be out. We'll when Eddie comes on, we'll pull the lineup and talk about it. But it's all about galvanizing over 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Right.
And we've seen amazing things happen with teams coming in that aren't supposedly prepared, that go on incredible runs. They're going to have a country behind them. And we'll see what happens. And I think there's been a glimmer of real optimism in some of these last games. By the way, after Australia, you get Paraguay and Uruguay. That's really good competition. These are all teams that have qualified. You're not getting the European teams now because of the fact that they're still in qualifying in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. I'm staying optimistic. I'm not going pessimistic. Okay, here's the soundbite. This is Austin Trusty. He plays at Celtic. He's played at Sheffield United. He's also played in Major League Soccer. In this soundbite, he's discussing the difference between the then manager Greg Berhalter of the U.S. and Mauricio Pochettino. Here we go.
Yeah, Greg called me up. He didn't call me up when the teams, the times I wanted, obviously with Copa America and World Cup, and that was obviously very, very upsetting. And you know, me and him had conversations. But so I won't talk about that. But Mauricio, it's actually really good. You know, I think it's really fresh coming, having a new face come in, and to have a guy of his caliber as a coach, it's, you know, he's coached Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, all those guys to. He has a backing of every single player, you know. And I think to have a coach of that caliber, you can't say nothing to him. You can't say anything. He knows. He's been done that, and you have to respect that. And I think that's the biggest thing. And he has, like, again, he has like an aura around him where we all look up to him. And that, I think that's what you want as a national coach.
Federico.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about now. You know, he's an important name in the world of coaches.
By the way, he's not going to be critical of him at this
no,
stage.
No, not right now.
With still potentially wanting to make a World
not
Cup
right now.
Team. So it's going to be good commentary, but that doesn't mean it's not truthful.
No, it is true. And, you know, he has credits to be the coach of the U.S., of course. And he's, you know, he's showing that things are possible with this team. You know, the players that he has, you know, a lot of teams wished they had players like the ones that he has at his disposal here at the USA. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm excited.
Victor?
Yeah, well, the whole reason he was brought here was to bring a different standard, right? Bring a different level of experience. What he has from coaching in the Premier League and some of the best players, as you mentioned, Messi, Neymar, all those guys. So I think that's the standard you want. You want a Pulisic. You want all these players. To have somebody like that guiding them through what is going to be arguably the most important tournament of their lives.
Lineup just came out. Here's an interesting one. James Sands will get a start tonight. Alex Freeman will play right back. You got Haji right up front. Tim Weah, Mark McKenzie, Christian Pulisic will go from the start tonight against Australia. Weston McKennie, that's a big one. I think the U.S. needs him to find his form and be a part of it. Christian Roldan, Chris Richards is the incumbent now. Best center back on the team, and then Matt Friis. He's given Matt Friis game after game. You got to be thinking that he thinks this may be his World Cup goalkeeper. You think so, Victor?
seems that way. I don't think he would be wasting minutes on him if he wasn't. Kind of tells you of, again, he's opening the door for players to take the opportunity. And what if Matt Freeze makes the World Cup off of just these games just this year?
Or Christian Roldan.
Can you imagine that?
All right, let's go to Mexico. 4-0 loss to Colombia. You can stand up now.
His family's Mexican, so he heard all.
Oh, I know your kind. You go around wearing Argentina or Colombia jerseys. I know you guys. That's all right. A lot of U.S. people do the same thing. 4-0 loss to Colombia. All right. I'm going right to Vasco Aguirre.
Yeah.
Bosco. I call him Bosco. There used to be a chocolate drink, Bosco.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Aguirre. Third time coaching the national team. So does that mean each time he gets hired, he is becoming a better coach, or he just is a guy that will do exactly what the Mexican Federation tells him to do?
Well, that's a job description, first of all. So, I mean, that's
you'll get the gig kinda, if you do what they tell you. And you'll get a lot of money for it.
There's a lot of experienced coaches in Liga MX through the years that I think many pundits have asked to coach the team. Obviously, the most recent one was a guy that was just at Pachuca, Guillermo Almada, the Uruguayan. But again, there's a lot of politics in, well, first of all, in world football, but especially in Mexico. So, yeah, Bosco's one that kind of checks all the boxes. And also, he's there to restore a little faith. And he's, you know, he can speak to the common man. That's what he's there to do.
Yeah. Okay, so we're up on a hard break. This is Judas Priest, by the way, who are playing at Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. Probably you two guys don't know him. Well, you will, because Argentines love heavy metal.
They absolutely love heavy metal. Yeah.
I think Mexicans do too, right?
I like Judas Priest.
Ah, you guys like mariachi.
That too.
I like mariachi.
Hey, it's Hispanic Heritage Month.
I like
what
mariachi.
What is Soccer Matters doing for Hispanic Heritage?
Yeah, I got a sombrero I'm going to put on
I'll
for the final
I'll start singing
segment.
Right now. I'll start singing right
I'm
now.
I'm going to drink a Corona. No, I'm going to drink a Senate Avenue Brewing Mexican-style beer. What would that be, Andrew? What is it?
La República.
Ah, beautiful.
La República.
See, I knew Andrew would bail me on that one. Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. We're out here tonight. If you're out and about on the town, come on in. We're talking the world's greatest game, football. We'll take a break. Eddie Robinson of the Houston Dynamo is going to come on. We're going to continue to banter with Victor and Federico. We're going to shuffle the seats a little bit in the microphones and continue to have fun. You never know what's in store when Eddie Robinson's coming on, so he's coming on next. All right, we'll take a break. As we go to break, Cactus Music, LamontBrands.com for Soccer Matters T-shirts and hats. Also, do not forget our good friends at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10, and the Marquee Entertainment Center. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. We'll take a break. Eddie Robinson's up next, the former Dynamo and San Jose Earthquake.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, slip sliders, 1802 bins in the Museum District. The best sliders you'll ever have. It's Houston-based restaurant sliders, tenders. They got great shakes down there. The variety of sliders are crazy. The size of the sliders are crazy. They're not little. They've got beef, they've got brisket, short rib, chicken, seafood, vegetable options. A lot of creativity with it. Buffalo Blue is a chicken slider I've had with buffalo sauce and blue cheese. I think Eddie Robinson would like that one. The Backyard Burger is the traditional. A lot of good chicken. There's a chicken one called Caribbean Chicken, which I like a lot. And I'm a big fan of the Shrimp Shack. So slip sliders, 1802 bins, excuse me. Great spot to go, and three of them are good, but four of them are better at once. So my good friend Rashid and Slip Sliders, we appreciate their support of soccer here in Houston. We're here at 16,000 Dillard. We are at the legendary, and I mean legendary, Senate Avenue Brewing.
You'll notice tonight, if you're watching online, I am wearing the Senate Ave hat. They've got great merch. And tonight I actually look like a radio host. Right, Victor?
No government shutdown here.
No, never, never. We don't shut it down. We work right through it. Federico De Michelis is already grabbing some good beers here. This man's going to be a father for the second time here in a short amount of time. 3 days. Congratulations.
All right. Working hard, huh?
So cheers to that. Okay, so we're working this room, but we're also working you, the listener. So, Victor, finish up on Mexico before I bring in Eddie.
I mean, it's going to be one big party at the World Cup. That's kind of what everybody's looking forward to.
I don't want
to.
The party part. I want the team, competition. Where's it at? What's the Mexican public think?
Again, it's going to be one big party.
Okay.
That's what you can look forward to. I don't think anybody's stressing over trying to be World Cup champions with the current squad. I think there's one bright light, which is Gilberto Mora. He was with the U-20, 16-year-old kid. By the way, that's because Juan Carlos Osorio, remember him? He was the coach of Tijuana. Saw something in him, gave him playing time, and now he's the future of Mexico. Helped him to a Gold Cup title this summer. But there's not enough of those players. There's not enough of the new generation coming through for Mexico, which is why you keep asking me if Memo Ochoa is going to go to the World Cup, and it's probably a yes because...
Oh, he's definitely going.
The door's not opening for other...
He's 100% going because he's too marketable, whether he can save a ball. I mean, my buddy tells me he's given up. You know, every team he's on, they get relegated.
They all get relegated.
I know he's a good goalkeeper. He was. He doesn't deserve to go to the World Cup, but he's going because he's a marketing asset for Mexico.
Luis Angel Malagón is going to start because he's the Club America goalkeeper. That's kind of how it works in Mexico. We should be talking about other players.
So is Gilberto Mora going to get picked up by a Chivas or a Club America? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, let's hope not because that, I mean, but that's been the story. Some of the players in Mexico, some of the shining stars, they don't make the jump to Europe because other Mexican teams offer up millions and millions of dollars to get them on their teams, the Rayados, the Tigres.
So he should go to the Netherlands. That's where he should go.
Let's hope he should go. And you know what? His father was a football player.
Okay.
I think that has a lot to do with how he has been nurtured in his career. And I think for that reason, he'll be able to go to Europe and extend his game.
Gilberto
that way.
Mora's next move's a big one.
I think so.
Victor, thank you for that. I want to bring Eddie in. Santi Jimenez, what's going on with him? Just not producing at
different
the national
player.
Team?
It's a different story at Milan than it is at the national team. And, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to it. But, that again, there's a lot more that goes in with Mexico. Vasco can only do so much as a coach. He's also limited as a coach. He, you know...
They don't think he's a good tactician.
Well, he's not. In Spain, he's able to work with teams that are fighting for relegation, right? But is he going to be the guy that takes you next level? I don't think he is. But the guys that can aren't going to get the reins to be able to do what they can. So that's, politics in Mexico. So enjoy the party. Three games are going to be in Mexico, and that's pretty much what you can look forward to.
All right.
If you even get tickets, by the way.
That's Victor Ariza, CONCACAF, Deportes Houston. Great job, Victor.
And by the way,
we need
an Eddie Robinson memorabilia up here somewhere.
All right.
Bring down the value of the property.
So with that, we bring in Eddie Robinson. Thank you for that intro, Victor. All right, Eddie. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Glenn. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for making the effort to come up here.
Absolutely. Anytime you ask, you know I'm going to be there.
All right. So where do you see Mauricio Pochettino and the U.S. national team in the moment? So let me just give you a platform.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think that the U.S. right now has an outright leader. When you look at Christian Pulisic, his attitude, his personality, his desire to win – is second to none, but he doesn't strike me as someone that strikes fear in his teammates. That to be a leader, you have to perform the way that he does, but you also have to hold your teammates accountable. And I don't really see the guys like Weah, the guys like, and you were just speaking, from Juventus. I just drew a blank.
Pulisic, McKennie. Weston McKennie.
He just seems like a different player with the U.S. And I want to see Christian Pulisic call out these guys in the locker room. and bring some kind of fire out of them. Because
don't
I
you
don't
think Tyler Adams is really that guy? That's who I think. And I think the emerging guy might be Chris Richards.
Again, he's still, for me, a bit young, and I just don't see that leadership position for this team.
By the way, Pulisic's the captain tonight against Australia.
Which is fantastic, and he deserves it because he is easily the best player on the U.S. currently, arguably ever, that the U.S.
That doesn't make you the best captain.
It doesn't. It doesn't. But what other options are there? Because if you're going to ask for a player to lead by example, that's what you've got. You've got Christian Pulisic, and nobody's going to do it better. But there has to be a vocal aspect to it as well. Mm-hmm. Because when I look back at teams that I played on, you could pick Pat Onstad, you could pick Craig Weibel, you could pick Wade Barrett, you could pick Landon. Well,
you had a lot of captain-type guys.
You had a lot of guys that would perform because they knew in order to hold their teammates accountable, they had to play to that standard. Because you can't hold someone to a separate standard than you hold yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see that. I think the U.S. team overall is a bit soft. And you can't be soft if you want to be good on that international level, because that's where you reach the point where everybody's very talented, everybody's very skillful, everybody's very strong, everybody's very fit. What are the intangibles? The mentality, the desire to win when you step on that field. And I don't see it. I see a lot of entitled guys. And the one thing that I do appreciate about Mauricio Pochettino is he's starting to bring in players. When you look at lineups and when you look at groups of guys called into camps, you're like, who's that? Who's that guy? I don't know him. Why don't I not know who that is? And then you do a little research and you're like, huh, he's not just calling in the players that are comfortable being there. Because as soon as you get comfortable, that's where your performance falls off. And I feel like that's where the U.S. has been for the last 4 or 5 months.
Okay, now you got a lot of your peers, though, who are out there saying, hey, enough with the experimentation. Start trotting out our lineup here in these next couple games to the World Cup. I don't know if Pochettino's a man of that theory.
It doesn't seem like it, does it?
No.
It
well, based on tonight, too. Like, I mean, you got Christian Roldan starting. You got James Sands. There's no Tyler Adams. I think Anthony Robinson is still coming back. But maybe that's not as big a piece to him as a coach.
Maybe it isn't.
I mean, that sounds detrimental to coaching. But
so he's obviously of a pedigree that the U.S. has never had before. So as you guys were speaking before the break, you can't judge him quite yet. Because if this way that he works ends up having everybody of his best 11, his best 18 fit and ready to go come the World Cup, then we applaud him. If he doesn't, then we don't.
But that's been the end game the whole time. He's going to be judged on what he does in the World Cup.
So does he want to build chemistry and get those guys out there for every single game together possible? Or is he using it to find out who are those last 6 or 7 guys that make the roster?
Maybe the chemistry comes in the final couple of preliminary games before the World Cup.
And that's the big question. And I've never seen a U.S. national team this close to a World Cup where I said, what's going to be the group? What's going to be the starting 11?
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Who do you put in goal? Matt Friis, or he's getting all the games now from New York City FC, or do you go with a man who's played in the World Cup, Matt Turner? Well, and how much does that, having been in a World Cup? See, I think something comes into play there.
Tyler
Adams, McKinney. These guys have all played in the World Cup.
Without question.
They've done one already.
And this is why you see those players that have played in UEFA Champions Leagues multiple times, how those teams tend to develop. And when you find a team from a smaller country that enters that, you see small mistakes that you can't make because they don't have that experience in those big games. And if there's any bigger games than the World Cup, you tell me. But there is something to be said for experience, but when it comes down to current form, you've got to look at who do you think is going to come up big when you need him most. Because the U.S. is not, you don't walk through a World Cup. Even with the larger tournament field now, there's still going to be no walkthroughs. Nothing's going to be a gimme.
No.
So your goalkeeper, in order to win a World Cup, in order to advance out of your group in a World Cup, your goalkeeper is going to have to come up big at certain points.
And he might have to win you a game.
It could be situations where you've dominated the game completely, but you just haven't been able to find the net. Maybe you're up 1-0.
Yeah.
And in the 87th minute, there's a mistake in the defense. There's a mistake in midfield, and it leads to a really good opportunity. Does the goalkeeper make the save or does he not?
Yeah.
And there's the difference between 3 points and making it out of your group, or 1 point and not making it out of your group. So you can say for Matt Turner that he's got that experience and he knows, he's quite aware of this. With Fries, there's no question about his ability in goal. It just comes down to Mauricio Pochettino, and we haven't seen enough of him to be able to guess one way or another what he puts more emphasis on. And that's something we're going to find out over the next few weeks, I believe.
U.S. at 8 o'clock will take on Australia. I don't mind a little bit of the unknown, frankly. I mean, look, everybody on the outside has got to talk and come up with ideas about what he's doing, and everybody's entitled to their opinion on what he's doing. He's definitely doing it very different than people are used to.
Yes, and he's also up against getting guys to buy in, because with Berhalter, guys knew what he wanted. They bought in.
But then it got too comfortable.
It did, exactly.
It was like buddy-buddy. And
I think that could end up being Mauricio Pochettino's greatest strength, is that you don't always know where you sit with him. So you have to perform every single game, whether it's for the national team or your club team, whether it's a friendly, whether it's a qualifier, whatever it is. You have to perform every single game.
By the way, he said recently that we're beyond now the do we have the fight, the determination and all that. We've got that. Now it's about performance, game in and game out. They had a very good game against a very good Ecuador, who ended up number two in the CONMEBOL qualifying. So I thought that was positive.
Especially the second half. I mean, yes. Ecuador had a hard time just getting out of their half of the
field. And
that's
a very athletic team.
But then, again, you talk about moments and chances in the World Cup will become fewer and more far between. Do you have a forward that will get one chance in a game and take that chance?
Oh, the perennial U.S. question.
It is, right? It really is. And
it's a perennial Dynamo question, too.
Can the defense,
and the Houston Dash.
Can the defense hold up for
scoring
90 minutes
goals
over those group games,
yeah,
that if they're not scoring? And this is another question that I have for me. When we talk about fight and attitude, I still don't think that if a game comes down to sheer determination, challenges in midfield, hard tackles, I'm not sure the U.S. is up for that. I think they want to try to play pretty soccer. They want to try to play.
I'm going to differ with you, and I'm going to go back to the last World Cup, and they had a very energetic midfield that outplayed England. It was Tyler Adams. It was Weston McKennie. It was their first World Cups. They won the battle of midfield against England. That game ended 0-0. They should have won that game if they had a finisher on this day, and that would have been one of the greatest victories in the history of U.S. soccer, beating the purveyors of the game in a World Cup. But as you remember, that group stage came down to the last game. Pulisic got crunched but scored the game-winning goal. No, I thought they had fight and spirit in that tournament. What they didn't have was tournament navigation. And what I mean by that is we always have to fight so hard to get out of the group stage. We have to use the same guys. Anthony Robinson was gassed by the time we get to the knockout against the Netherlands. Pulisic is gassed. We have to navigate this tournament for once by being on top of a group and scoring more goals so that we can strategically rest some people and have a little bit more juice when we get to the knockout
stage.
That
was 4 years ago. This is a different team now. And these guys
are
4 years older.
No, but I'm saying they got to score more goals in order to give themselves some slack to get and navigate the tournament without blowing it all out with all your best players in three games in a short amount of time. That's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah, and I agree with that. But, again, coming back to the midfield, these guys are 4 years older, right? So are they going to be able to maintain that level just in order to get out of the group? It's a different team. It's a really different team. It's going to be interesting to see how many guys.
Well, it might not be. It might slide back. Look, if you wanted to go with the midfield in the last World Cup, well, Yunus Musa seems on the outs right now.
Yep.
But it was McKenney and it was Adams. Adams has got to be a lock. I'm sorry, he's got to be a lock. Those guys went through a World Cup. Tim Weah did. Haji Wright did. There's a lot of guys who played in a World Cup now. And I don't know how much that means to him as a coach.
I don't either, because if you're not, again, it just comes down to performing. And I don't see Tim Weah performing on the national team's games as the way that he does with his club. And that, for me, is one of the scary things. Because
so is he starting really tonight as a guy that's still, you think, a question mark in the mind of Mauricio Pochettino?
In the mind of Mauricio Pochettino, I don't think so, in my mind. But, again, that's my opinion, and who am I? Yeah. But he's got to bring out some kind of meanness, some kind of anger. He's got to figure out how to motivate Tim Weah, because a motivated Tim Weah is unbelievable. When he is at his best, he is so very good.
Scored against PSG.
And there are not very many defenders in the world that can defend him 1v1 when he's on. There's not. So now you're looking at the opportunity to gain set pieces with fouls, to gain corner kicks. If it's you're getting set pieces in dangerous areas, it's not just him scoring or getting any assists, but getting set pieces. In the U.S., they've got good size. They're pretty good on set pieces. They can be good on set pieces. So Tim Weah is a big, for me right now,
winger.
How he is going to perform in the World Cup is a question mark for me right now. I will say that.
Well, there's been some talk of him being used at right back. Or is it higher up the field?
I mean,
now, he could be a lateral if they go with a three-back system.
If they go with three in the back, yes. But does that take away from his counterattacking skill set? Because
if he's higher up the field,
and he's in a wide position to where you can get that ball into his feet immediately upon a turnover, off he goes. Get guys in the box, because you know he's going to take care of that defender outside.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to do something special here tonight. I'm going to hand over the hosting return to Senate Avenue Brewing to the mayor, Andrew Mitchum.
All right.
He's been drinking beer. This ought to be good. So if you're out there listening, you need to listen to this. We are at the beautiful Senate Avenue Brewing. By the way, are these kids going to school tomorrow? They need to get off the patio and go home. They're running around. This is why this is a cool place. This is like a German beer garden.
Well, the little
you got
one
every
there,
age here.
The little one there had a small Republica earlier. I think she's doing all right.
All right, we'll take a break. We're coming back. Andrew Mitchum, Senate Avenue Brewing, is going to bring us back after this, and we'll do some more talk with Eddie Robinson. Thanks for coming in, everybody, tonight.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Baritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
Here's actually Andrew Mitchum, the mayor of Senate Avenue Brewing Company, holding a cold craft beer in my hand and sitting next to legends Glenn Davis and Eddie Robinson of the Houston Dynamo. I am in absolute awe of the people I'm sitting next to, and I want to say thank you so much for hosting your show from our brewery on Tuesdays, every second Tuesday of the month. And we're having a great time. Great. It's Beef Bulgogi Bowl night. If you haven't heard already, we do it every Tuesday, but we have 20 beers on tap. We have a great kitchen.
We have great soccer conversation happening tonight. Everybody who's been on the show has been so insightful and opened my mind to more and more soccer matters issues. And so thank you very much for having me on and letting me do the intro.
By the way, that is the mayor, Andrew Mitchum. That is a first take hit. By the way, the first time I ever did a stand-up, I stumbled all over the place. That's as clean as can be.
You should let him do them all from now on.
It's the beer. It's the beer.
I think we might start doing that. I can save my voice. We'll just bring Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew, thanks for that so much.
I appreciate it.
All right, we got a couple of quick minutes here with Eddie Robinson. All right, Thomas Muller, Major League Soccer.
Listen,
Vancouver Whitecaps.
He's absolutely hysterical. If you've never watched any interviews with him, just go to YouTube and Google his name. He's so funny. But he's someone that I can relate to because on the field, he is a mean SOB. But off the field, he's the first one in the locker room joking around. He's going to buy the first beer for his most hated enemy on the field. You can guarantee he's buying your first beer off the field. He's a great guy. He's great to have in Major League Soccer.
He is absolutely captivating Vancouver on and off the field. By the way, one of the most historic goal scorers in the history of the World Cup, okay? You can't forget what he did single-handedly in some ways with the, well, not single-handedly, but with the German national team to both Brazil and Argentina.
Oh, and then you throw in there Bayern Munich. I mean, he's one of the leading appearance guys all time.
Whole
for
career
Bayern
at Bayern Munich. I'm looking at Federico, and I'm thinking of what Thomas Muller did to Argentina. He quieted down your Diego Maradona, the motivator. That was the slang, I'm sorry. And Argentina's won World Cup, so we have to be fair here.
Yes.
All right, so what else has jumped out to you? A league you played in, Major League Soccer. What's jumped out to you from your time period playing and then going into that most important time period when you were my analyst for 11 years on TV? I know that was the highlight of your career, but how has MLS changed?
Just being beside you was the highlight of my career. That's without question.
So how has MLS changed from your time period?
So, unfortunately, I see a lot of guys who more now today have unearned inflated egos because of social media. You can't blame them 100% because social media has an effect on absolutely everything. Then you look at the money. I mean, I made $24,000 a year my first two seasons in San Jose living in Silicon Valley. So that's obviously changed tremendously. I mean, I think the league minimum now is about four times that. So
you lived under a bridge in those
days. So, but the quality of the game has improved tremendously. I look back at it, and if I were playing today, based on strictly my mentality and my attitude, I don't think I'd stay on the field very long because it's a bit more of a skillful game. Yes, we had very skillful players.
Can't get away with as much.
But there was a mixture of your skillful players and your enforcers, the piano carriers and the piano players. I was a piano character. I looked after the guys that were the players. The attacking guys, you know, you've got to protect them. You've got to return fire if something happens to them. That's completely changed now. You can't get away with that. Referees are more strict. But the attention that the game has gotten in the United States over the last 15 years is unbelievable. And when you look back at the pioneers, the Lamar Hunts, and those guys, Phil Anschutz, the guys that started this league, to start from something so small but have the vision and understanding where this would go, and that justified the crazy amount of money that they lost initially to today. I mean, I remember, I believe the franchise fee was somewhere around $50 million way back 20 years ago. Now you got to pay $500 million just to be.
When it started and I was calling the league, you could get a franchise for $3 million.
And now,
and that's what Robert Kraft got it for. Okay?
Yeah, and you had three
and he's
people.
He's playing in a stadium that he owns. He pays no fees. He owns the whole shopping area there.
Yeah.
He wants more dates with the New England Revolution. Last word is yours. What's the biggest thing on your soccer mind for World Cup 2026?
Probably Brazil and Argentina. Can't wait. I hope they meet so bad.
All right. That's the one and only Eddie Robinson. Round of applause for Eddie making it up here tonight. I wish we had more time with you, Eddie. But we'll do it again, maybe tomorrow night. Destination 2026.
Okay.
Tomorrow night. Why don't we talk World Cup tomorrow night?
Sounds good to me.
So we'll bring Eddie on tomorrow night. World Cup Destination 2026. Houston's countdown to the Cup is tomorrow night at 6 Central Time. For everybody out here at Senate Avenue Brewing, a big, big thank you. And a big thank you to Andrew Mitchum, who just might be hosting the show the next time we're here. You don't know. That'll do it tonight. Thanks, everybody.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.